We've been talking about, or we started last week, talking about sacrifice. And I'd like to continue that today. Sacrifice is defined as something very precious that is willingly offered or surrendered and then destroyed for the sake of something or someone else. True sacrifice is not wished for or desired on the part of the sacrificer, but it is willingly performed out of duty, obedience, necessity, and or love toward the beneficiary of the sacrifice offered. Today's Father's Day. And for me, this is the first Father's Day I've had without my father. It really struck me when my mom sent me a Father's Day card. And I'll try to do this without crying. But I'll just say, she signed it, "Love, Mom." And I lost it. Because she always has signed it, "Love, Mom and Dad." That was hard. Sorry. But I think back to my dad and the sacrifices he made for his family. My dad, and I made a lot for his family, but I think of my dad and the sacrifices he made for his Lord. My dad was a very talented man and a very gifted teacher, professor. He was a music professor, had, I don't know if you, some of you that are of an older generation might have heard of Robert Shaw. He was considered the greatest choral director in the world. My dad did clinics with him and knew him personally. And he was, like I say, a very talented person, but yet he gave up accolades of men and ended up leaving the public realm and went into the private realm to Christian colleges and universities to share his abilities and talents with young people preparing for ministry. And that was a sacrifice, a tremendous sacrifice to see as a young man watching my dad sacrifice that in that way. I'd like to give you all opportunity, not real long, but just if you think of a sacrifice that your dad made for you or made for others that you saw, I'd like you to take a moment and share it. Anybody see a sacrifice or know of a sacrifice their dad made? I'd like to share it. Tom?
My mom and dad were North Carolina farmers. Brother was born, they decided that they wanted to give us a better life, so they moved us to the big city, Portsmouth, Virginia. And he took a job selling dry goods, which was not in his heart at all. But the sacrifice he made, and then later he made another sacrifice after I was born, and he moved all the way up to Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is a great sacrifice. And he got a job in Washington, D.C. to get a little bit more money to give us things that he felt like he never got. So he made a big sacrifice moving out of the rural parts of North Carolina, leaving that peace and quiet going up to Northern Virginia. It's a big sacrifice.
Yeah. All right, anyone else? Yes, Ethel.
My stepfather was a hard-working man. He had no children of his own, but he raised four, and he worked on shifts for his own to make that happen. His wages were kind of scarce back then, so sometimes you had to double up, but he was always there. I think that we need a big people with a good stepdad or a grandfather as well as we buy.
Absolutely.
Well,
thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Heather. Yes, sir.
Father's Day is special, and I'm just my dad. My dad's been gone for 25 years. And
It just seemed like it was yesterday. Mm. And I'm from a big family. I got 9 brothers and 2 sisters. And my dad was a real big person, big man. And he had a ministry. And I didn't understand that. I was very close to my dad. Dad was my buddy. I mean, okay, he was never wrong. He was always my buddy. And remember one time he had a stroke and he couldn't do a lot. But the doctor said it may take 4 or 5 months to get better. But in a month and a half, he wanted to go back to work. Mm. And part of his side was still numb, but he went back to work anyway. And it just really, you know, he said, you know, you got to just trust God with what's going like this and all like that. But I'm going to be okay. And I was very protective of my dad. And but to see him do that and go to work for his family in that condition just really inspired me. You know,
that's great.
I always look up to my
man. Amen. That's good. Yes, ma'am.
I know what it's from. You know, like my daily life is early on. I can forget it.
Yes, ma'am.
My father, his prizes were on a daily basis. They were small things, big things too, but he sacrificed things that he may have wanted for himself to show his big family how to walk in the way of the Lord. So people don't know he was a Hindu deacon, and then an interim minister, he led the ministry school. Church softball team in addition to like your father. Four sons in my life.
Mm-hmm. We thank God for your dad too.
Mm-hmm. I thank God for my lovely daughter.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
She started dating me and my 4 brothers were sitting on both sides of her and share together.
That's right. We need more dads to do that. That's right. Any others want to share? All right, Mike?
My parents ran a trucking company for over 50 years, and my dad would get up at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning and would be gone, and sometimes not home until 6 or 7 o'clock at night because he drove one of the trucks and tried to manage the others. And looking back on my childhood, then he would come home for what little time he had home, and he had to contend with 2 sons that were probably just a little bit hard-headed and needed a slight correction from time to time. I look back on him, he had his hands full, and I just thought, I was blessed to have a lot of patience.
Yeah, that's all. Yes, ma'am.
My dad would take his time to make sure that I got to spend time with my horses. When I was really poor, he gave me to the festival, and he would go out before he had to go to work. He would go out and take care of the horses, which was a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real easy setup, but he spent mainly the time he spent encouraging me and not letting me know how what I was up against. So after I've already done it, that I realized how hard it was for me to get into that school and stuff. He was always encouraging me.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for doing that, Phil. All right. One more.
He's not my father, but I want to thank my husband for the sacrifice he made in this country and soul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how many fathers in here do we have that are veterans? We all want to thank you for your sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice, let me tell you. We know that it is, and for those of you whose spouse was in the military, so you're married to this one of these veterans here, I want to thank you for that, because I know that's a tough thing to have Uncle Sam always saying what your husband's going to do. Yes, sir.
I know my daddy, he worked at a grocery store, ran a grocery store all his life. When he went away in World War II, he didn't come back to say it. His left leg was all mangled up and couldn't hardly walk. But he worked as a doctor, he was a young host. And he worked for the government, sold the grocery store, he worked for the government, and talked about that. He He never would say what happened to his dad. He didn't want to talk about it. And I know he had battles going on. But when he passed away, we could not find it out. It was dead for him to work. But he just didn't want to talk about it. And when I notified the Veterans Administration of the past, they said, well, we can tell you what went on.
One more. Then I'll speak fast.
I would like to thank the father of these four, the other one, the nurse. This is not an easy task, and he's been a faithful father, and faithful to the Lord, faithful to me, and faithful to the children, given us a lot of things that he'd like to do to be with him and to be with me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I know that these things that we say about dads and husbands can be said across the board. What a great thing. What a great thing it is for dads, fathers who've taken it seriously and have sacrificed of themselves. Stepdads, I appreciate that because I know we have some stepdads here that at whatever time they became stepdad have sacrificed of themselves. First unto the Lord, and then in their responsibility to their kids. It is their kids. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. You see, it being Father's Day, I hope that all of us will celebrate and honor our fathers' lives and legacies. And today, in this second part of our series on sacrifice, we're going to explore the sacrifice of fathers. In doing so, we're going to be talking about God as Father. But you know, one of the things that stays very sobering to me is I read one time a young lady that she was a Christian girl, and she heard a preacher talking about fathers. And she wrote in there, because she didn't necessarily have a father that signified a godly father. And she wrote in her notes, "I guess I'll understand God as a father one day when I see my husband with my children." So fellas, we have a task. We have a task to set in the sacrifice of a father to be like our Father God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, what a beautiful and wonderful day this is to celebrate fathers. For some of us, it's celebrating the memory of our father. For some of us, it's celebrating our dad who's still with us. I'm sad for the children that don't have the example of a father, of a good father. But I'm so grateful for the many testimonies we had today of a father and of husbands that are testimonies of what you describe as a father. But ultimately, Holy God, we acknowledge you as Father. The greatest example of how we are to be, those of us who have the privilege of being a father, stepfather, in whatever manner that we're a father. Some of us even have continued privilege to be spiritual fathers beyond our own blood relatives. May we learn today what the sacrifice of fathers is from your example, Almighty God. It's in Jesus' name, because of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There are some memorable verses that Paul wrote to the church in Rome that are contained in Romans chapter 8. For instance, Romans chapter 1. He tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8, 1. We also know, and we'll be picking up soon after, Paul said the words in Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And so I ask you to start with me, follow along as I read Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or even things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is powerful. This is powerful. You see, Paul asks some very poignant questions. We would call them redundant questions. He asks, if God is for us, who is against us? You see, this is a question that's asked with a presupposition that the reader has some knowledge of the power of Almighty God, demonstrated first through His creative power in creating the world and the universe. And then knowledge of the many supernatural miracles that we read about in the Old Testament. And so the obvious answer to the question is, nobody has the power to stand against us. Our Father God will be victorious, which means we, those of us who are truly born again, we are believers, therefore we are His children, we too will be victorious. To solidify this obvious answer, Paul states the ultimate sacrifice God made on our behalf, and that is the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus. Jesus said of Himself and this sacrifice in John chapter 3, starting at verse 14, at the very end of verse 14. He said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. God willingly offered His Son, allowing him to be destroyed for the sake of all who would believe. If He's willing to do that much for us, to gain a right relationship with Him, and then He then adopting us into His family as His children, then, as Paul said, who can stand against us? I don't know about you, but growing up especially, there was no one bigger and stronger than my dad. I'm sure many of you said the same thing. No one's bigger and stronger than my dad. Well, you know what? No one is bigger or stronger than our dad, God the Father. Who can stand against us? Remember, Paul is speaking about the spiritual world. Because you know what? The ravages of the flesh will come at us. But yet, as you've observed maybe in your own life and definitely in the lives of others, even when the ravages of the flesh afflict us or people mock us, we've seen many examples of people standing against that with strength. Where did that come from? From God. From God. And so Paul, speaking of this fact that the spiritual powers of the world cannot prevail, he wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the passage just before he says, put on the armor of God. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, that is speaking of the spiritual realm, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Who can stand against us? No one. And so therefore it is against this we will stand. It's easy for us to think of the sacrifice of our earthly fathers because it's tangible. It's something we can see. We had great testimonies of our dads, what they sacrificed for us. I think of two stories that I've heard of. I even tried to find the documentation. I don't know if they're true or not. Even Snopes didn't say whether it was true or not. I don't know. But they're great stories. In short, I'd like to tell both of them. The first is the switchman's son. There was a railroad switchman. And one day he decided to bring his 4-year-old son to work with him. And he let his son go out and play. Well, he lost track of his son. He got busy with some things in his office. And about this time, he realized that he had a northbound train coming toward him. And he had a southbound train coming toward him. Of course, they're on the same track. It's his job to switch them. Out of earshot, he sees his son playing on the tracks. He yells to his son. His son doesn't hear him. And he has a trainload of people coming north and south, coming right to each other, and if he were to switch the track, if he were not to switch the track, his son would be fine. The people would all die. And the story goes that as the trains got nearer, the father realized he had to sacrifice his son. And he switched the tracks. And the son perished. And the people whizzed by him, not knowing this little boy lay dead. Not knowing that the father had his head bowed and his eyes were just flooded with tears in that switch box, still holding onto the switch because of the sacrifice he made of his for his son, the most precious thing in his life. And the people went by oblivious to it all. The second story is of a man who was an avid sailor on sailboats. And he took his son and his son's best friend out on the sailboat one afternoon. It was a sunny afternoon. There wasn't a storm in the forecast. And they went out to sea, far enough to where they couldn't see land. This man was a Christian man, a godly man. His son, undoubtedly to him, he knew that his son had accepted Jesus as his Savior. Both boys were teenagers. He also knew that his son's best friend was not a Christian. Absolutely had made no proclamation of Christ. And they were out sailing, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm just blew in. And it was very... It caused the seas to be very rough. The sailboat wasn't big. The man fought very hard to keep the sailboat upright, and a huge wave came and overturned the sailboat, throwing the two boys. The man still had hold of a rope and was able to get back to the boat, though it was capsized. And the boys were out in the sea, and he had a split second to think. He had in his hand the rope and the life ring that he could throw, but he knew he only had time to save one boy. And in that split moment, he yelled out to his son as loud as he could. He said, "Son, I love you." But he threw that ring to his son's friend because he said, "Son, I love you. And I know I'll see you again with Jesus." But he knew that friend would not. And he pulled the boy in and saved his life. Later on, that boy came to know Jesus as his Savior and told the story of his storm's salvation and how it led him to Jesus. And he told it as a pastor, leading many to Christ. How often, then, we hear that, it's tangible, it's something we can really relate to. And how often do we think of the sacrifice of God, the Father? He was first the father of Jesus. He was Jesus' dad. You see, we talk of the Trinity. Let's understand that God is not one person. He's one God. He's three persons. In the beginning, God's not schizophrenic. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Let us make man in our image." He wasn't looking in the mirror saying to himself, "Let us make man." No. God the Father, person. God the Son, person. God the Holy Spirit, person. One God. Jesus was God's Son from the beginning. This was His Son. And yet, He loved us so much that He gave Jesus up for our sake. Do we dare think it was no big deal for Him to give up Jesus? To watch His Son get ridiculed and mocked? To allow His Son to be beaten and and then murdered by his own creation? And then the ultimate sacrifice of seeing Jesus become the embodiment of evil and sinfulness, turning into everything the Father hates, to the point the Father had to turn his back on his own Son because of the abhorrence his Son had become. For what? For the reconciliation of the most selfish, prideful, lustful, and hateful part of his created world? Yes. And 1,000 times, yes. And to God the Father, we lift our grateful praise. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. King David, in realization of who God is, said, "I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name together." What great sacrifice God made for us by giving up His Son for us. And because of this, from our main reading this morning, Paul asks the following questions. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 34. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. The only one that has a right to accuse the true believing adopted child of God is God Himself. But it's He who justified us. It's He who made us right before Himself. The only one who can condemn us is God Himself. But He's the one who sacrificed His Son for us, so we would not be condemned. Furthermore, this same Jesus, He physically raised from the dead and sat Him at His right hand, at His own throne, so that Jesus could mediate on our behalf. This is not a story of a father who sacrificed his son for people he did not know anything about, or a people who did not know about him, like the first of those stories I told. This is not the story of a father who sacrificed his son for someone who knew him and his son, and who the father knew and liked. This is a story of a father who surrendered up his son for the sake of people who hated him and had declared themselves his enemy. Yet this father loved them and showed them that he loved them with the greatest of sacrifice. So we read in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, "For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by Jesus' blood, we will be saved through Him from God's wrath. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received this reconciliation through him. With the knowledge we have of the insurmountable sacrifice God the Father made for us through Jesus, Paul then asks these final questions. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, God the Father gave to us, he has made it possible for us to be reconciled to him, be adopted into his family as his children. We now are more than conquerors. Nothing will separate us from God's love in Jesus. Oh, what a thought. The bottom line is this. God sacrificed what was most precious to him for us. So all of us can then sacrifice the little we hold dear for him, can't we? For the Christian dad. Now, by the way, this sermon is about those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And so I say, for the Christian dad, the sacrifice of fathers, in view of God, the Father's sacrifice for us, it is then for us to continue to surrender more as a sacrifice of our rights, our pleasures, our finances, etc., you name it, for God and his purposes, so that our life is an example of who God is as a father, so that our kids don't have to say, I'll know what a father is when, if it's a boy, when I learn what a father is, what God the Father is, and enacted as a father. Or our girls don't have to say, I'll know what God is as a father when I see my husband with my children. Dads, let them see it in us. Let them see it in us. So the challenge for this week is take an inventory. This is not just for dads, this is for all of us. Take an inventory. What are we currently sacrificing for the purpose and cause of God our Father who sacrificed his all? And then, upon that inventory, the task, the challenge is this week, what more can we sacrifice for him? Because we're more than conquerors. Because his love will never be separated from us. We can then, in safety, sacrifice even more. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Holy God, I understand for me and for my brothers and sisters here, you call us out today. I think you wanted us to understand the sacrifice of fathers that we know of, that we see tangibly. Our own fathers and the sacrifices they made for us. Maybe some that we saw the sacrifices they made for your purposes, so that we could have that godly example of a father. We told stories and of dads who could really relate to you in giving up their son for someone else's sake. But ultimately, God, I think it's still hard for us to grasp an understanding of the insurmountable sacrifice you made, willingly giving up your son for even those that cried out as enemies, us. And yet you loved us in spite of ourselves. I pray that we will go from this place today truly taking an inventory of what have we truly sacrificed for you. And may we from that inventory see how, well, to be honest, to see where we lack. Because I know we all have places in our lives we know, if we're honest, that we should sacrifice more for your purposes. And for dads here, that they may be that godly man, godly father, at whatever point and stage in life we are, that our children will be able to see through us God as a father. We give you these things. We pray that you will touch our hearts and lives, move us closer to you through Jesus. Jesus, it's in your name we pray, and can only pray as you intercede for us. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to open your hymn book to hymn 101. In 101, how deep the Father's love for us. If we'll stand and sing. Before we sing, I want to ask if, again, this was a message to those who claim belief in Christ. They have staked their life and their eternity in Christ, but I understand there very possibly could be someone here that has not. And so therefore, God is not your Father. But let Him be your Father today. You will have a love that you'll never be separated from. You'll have a life that those issues in your life, you can learn to be a conqueror over. And come and let God be your Father. Let's stand and sing.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. Thank you.
May God bless you and keep you. And may we go out being more than conquerors, remembering we cannot be separated from Christ's love. God bless you.